Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. And I am excited. I am excited for tonight's show. We've got a fantastic guest on. When I heard his music for the first time, I was like, wow, what is this? You know, there's been a couple times in my life where I've heard a song and it struck me. Our guest tonight is, I can put in that list, man. I'm telling you guys, I remember I was just talking to our guest off mic before we came on and talking about where we grew up and stuff. And I grew up in Metro Detroit, for those who don't know. But I remember, I think it was the early 90s, and I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit on the radio for the first time, literally got off the freeway, it did a loop-de-loop, and went the other way to the record store and bought that record. I had a similar experience hearing our guest tonight. I was just taken with his music. I'm a big fan, and without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Raygun Carver. Raygun!
Thank you.
How's it going,
thanks,
man?
Thanks, Jamie. Oh, it's going really good,
yeah.
Thanks.
That is cool, man. I was looking at your Instagram page also. I'm like, man, this guy is cool. We have a lot of same interests. As soon as I saw the Frankenstein's creature, I almost said Frankenstein, but that would have been the doctor. That would have been incorrect.
That's right.
With the cowboy hat on, I'm like, that should be a painting. That I actually wrote that down on my potential painting idea book. Brilliant. And you got the Gill Man in one of the pictures there?
I do. I'm a huge fan of the classic Universal horror icons, Creature, the Wolfman, all that stuff. I don't write songs about them, but I love that those old designs where there were practical effects in the makeup. And got a sculpture of the Gillman's actually sculpted from the actual mask. They had two masks, one for the land Gillman and one for the underwater scenes where they shot. And I have one of 500, the Gillman sitting up here, and I have a great Karloff bust that I just love them. And you know, lately I've been getting on my downtime, I've been collecting some of these old Aurora monster models and some of the and that kind of stuff that was really fast. And just when I was a kid, when I first saw those images, I just was in love with them. And my parents tried to dissuade me, of course, but I was just like, I was taken, and I never grew out of it. I just love it.
I had an uncle, a cousin who was quite a bit older than me. He was in high school, you know, and I thought he was the coolest guy ever. He had a 6-foot Saturn V rocket in his room, you know. I mean, he had cool stuff. And he had a bunch of those Aurora models, and they were fantastic. And I thought about that when I was in college, and this is quite a few years ago, mm-hmm. but the McFarlane Spawn stuff was real hot at the time. And he had come out with a series of, and I really wasn't into it, because, you know, I was a little too old for that era of, to get that excited over that era of comic.
Right.
I'm not saying they were bad or anything. It just wasn't, you know, wasn't my thing. It's when I tell people, I have younger friends that are like, how come you don't ever watch anime? I'm like, it's just not my thing, you know? When I discovered it, I think I was too old. That's the issue.
Well,
anyhow, he had those monsters that he had done, like the Wolfman and stuff, and it was cool because it was like there was a hunter, and his arms were ripped off and everything. And I'm like, well, these, but they're not, they weren't as cool as the models you have, those Aurora ones.
No, no. They were kind of back in the stuff I'm referring to. It was super tame by today's standards, but I never took with the kind of the slasher kind of thing. It was never my vibe. I just liked the old monsters, just maybe because they were misfits. They were misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were kind of loners on their own, trying to make their way in the world, and nobody wanted
them. Well,
your
Gilead is a good example of that.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't bothering anybody. He was just doing his thing and living large in Florida in the swamp, and they had to bring something. Well, there wouldn't have been nothing if they hadn't brought something, you know?
That's right, yeah.
It's crazy. Well, that's cool, man. That is cool. And your storytelling. Now, I found somewhere, when I first got your press kit, under genre, it just said singer-songwriter. And I'm like, well, no, we got to do better than that. This guy is way more advanced than just singer-songwriter. So let me do a quick Google search here. I did not come up with this. It showed up somewhere on a YouTube video. But it said urban Americana noir, and I'm like, I like the sound of that.
I do too.
That's it.
Yeah, I agree. I that's totally my genre. and I got that from Chicago. I think it was a magazine, Chicago City Light and Sound, that did a review of one of my songs from my first album, Moonfields Yawning, and they called it urban Americana noir, and I just thought that's perfect, and so I just want to run with that and try to keep the songs in that kind of a vibe. I like that kind of noir, kind of black and white, you know, the stories, and of course the name Ray Gun Carver is a play on that. There's an author named Raymond Carver who wrote short stories. One of his stories was adapted into a film that got the Oscar, which was Birdman with Michael Keaton. And Raymond lived here in his last 10 years of his life up in Port Angeles, Washington. He was buried up here. And when I was coming up with names for what I wanted to do musically with this, the first one I came up with was Black Lodge, because I was thinking of Twin Peaks and that red room.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was really kind of perfect, because I was really influenced by David Lynch a lot. And then I thought, no. Then I came up with it just a play on, you know, the local author. Not that my music is anywhere near Raymond Carver's work, but just kind of a play on that name, Ray Gun Carver.
Yeah, it works. I love it. It's fantastic. That's a winner in my book. In my book, that is definitely a winner. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's cool, you know, where you, that part of the country, it's so interesting to me. I'm telling you, it's been 20 years since I've been there. Well, maybe 15 now. But I had never been there before, and I had always been one, and I'm not one of these people. My wife's really into it. She watches all the Ghost Hunter, not so much anymore, it's more into murder stuff now, but she was really in for a while into all the ghost stuff. And, I watch those, and they're like, we're picking up some weird electronic interference. I'm like, yeah, you're carrying a boom mic, man. That's
right. Yeah.
I was always one of those people, you know. And the Pacific Northwest, people say, oh, it's magical. If there's such a thing as ley lines, they have to converge there, you know. You've got the mystery spot. You've got all this Bigfoot, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys know what you're talking about, you know. And then I was in Portland, Oregon, and for those who don't know, my day job, I'm a painter. I paint pictures of people and stuff. And I was in Portland, and I had to get up to Seattle. And since 9/11, if you're a painter and you've got paint on with you, you can't fly. You've got to take the old dirty dog, the old Greyhound. I don't know how to let you on a train. I don't know. So I took a Greyhound from Portland up to Seattle. My first time going through that rainforest. And I'm looking out the window of the Greyhound, and I'm going, you know what? There absolutely could be a lot of shit out there that nobody's ever seen. I've never seen forests like that. Blew me away.
No.
Blew me away. Yeah, it was
beautiful.
I think there's something to it, you know. But it doesn't
surprise
me, Ray Gunn, that you're from that neck of the woods, you know.
No.
I think it seeped into the drinking water a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I really love it up here with the mountains and the water, you know, and the ocean right here. It's just pretty much anything you want to do. We have lakes, like Lake Crescent we have here is 650 feet deep, I believe, and crystal clear.
Oh, and that's
you
a
can
lake.
See, you know, 100. Yeah, and it's a very old glacial lake, and so it hasn't been inundated with a lot of flora and fauna in the water. And so it's crystal clear, but you got to wait until about July before you jump in and start swimming in it because it is bitterly cold right now.
Oh yeah,
but it's beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'm a big fan of that area, and it's so cool that you're telling your stories and telling them well through music. You know, I love the and some of the philosophical stuff that's in there. It's a good combination of that, you know, and musically it kind of takes you, because when I hear that guitar, I'm like, ooh, are we going to the underside, the underbelly of something here, or is there a grizzled detective at a bar somewhere,
right,
you know,
right,
in the woods?
Yeah.
I love it. I eat it up with a spoon. It is fantastic. Now, let me ask you, on a personal level, you're obviously a very talented musician. You know, you know your craft. Did you always plan on being a musician? Was that always kind of in the cards for you, or was that something you came to later?
No, I decided this is what I wanted to do very, very, very young. And knew this was something that I wanted to do is to write songs. I was fascinated at an early age with my father, I should say, was a jazz musician and a music teacher. And so he was always in the basement playing his trumpet. I'd walk home from school and you'd hear Dad in the basement, you know, going through these scales and doing trumpet. And he would take me, my folks would take me to the symphony on weekends.
Ooh.
And, of course, that was torture for me as a kid. But, you know, I would sit through these symphonies. Then he'd take me to jazz concerts and things like that. But, I was more attracted to the magic of, the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour, that album in particular. I just absorbed that into my DNA. I listened to it over and over and over and over. And I'm talking young kid, you know, first, second grade. Just really listen to that album because it was just so strange and magical. I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I became started out on the bass guitar and then played bass for a number of years and then gradually switched to guitar out of necessity just because I couldn't find guitar players. So, you know, everything I've done has kind of been out of necessity, having to play all these different instruments and stuff just because there weren't people to do that or that really couldn't capture what you wanted to do. And I've always had a good sense of harmony, so I was able to put together chording and things. I could just hear it in my head, pick out the notes and make that happen. So I just consider myself more of a rudimentary musician. More of a songwriter. I write as complicated or as simple as the song, but it's all dictated by the song and the melody for me, and it all comes with that melody and working around that, then working the structure of the song at. And the very last thing I ever do is put the lyrics together. I might have an idea for a chorus or a hook. But then it becomes the lyrics and you know, I write so many revisions, throw it out, write another revision, throw it out a lot. I do a lot of self-editing before I finally get to something that I think works. And even then, sometimes after listening to it down the road, I think, I should have said this instead of that. It would have been better. But I get it as best I can. And then I'll start the tracking with it.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, it sounds like, you know, doing it that way, music first, is you're laying a really good foundation down, you know?
Right.
And
it's all stuff you could play on acoustic. It all starts with an acoustic guitar.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Moms, we all wish there were two more of us just to get through the day, preparing lunches, snacks, dinners. We've all got a lot on our plates. That's where Fresh from Florida comes in. They have hundreds of recipes that make mealtime quick, easy, and healthy. And shopping for locally grown produce is a snap. Just look for the Fresh from Florida logo. When it's almost dinner time and you have to be three places at once, go to the one place that counts. FreshFromFlorida.com. There's sunshine in every bite.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you two episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Rocks Gear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
And that's why that's when amazing. I do when I play, I'm getting ready to do a lot of booking here in the Northwest. I'm just waiting for my booking agent to get me a list of venues, which could come today or tomorrow. But we're going to start booking, and I like to do those as a solo mm-hmm. show. So like I do them stripped. They're stripped down, and the only one I rely on is myself. They're
right.
the stripped down versions of the songs, but you're hearing them organically in their purest form that way. So
absolutely. I knew a guy used to do he used to do that more. He was more of a classic. I don't know. You know, people say, the old joke, I like both kinds of music, country and Western. He did more of the Western side of things, like
mm-hmm.
kind of Western swing, I guess. But he would do it, and he was in the Las Vegas area, and, he had some kind of, I don't know if there's like a special term for it or if it's a standard thing. I thought it was real neat. It was like it was made out of a 2x4. Maybe he just put this in a 2x4 box, but it was like a
mm-hmm.
box he had on stage with him. And that was his drums and everything. They just, like an organ drum beat thing, generator.
Wow.
And I was talking to him one day, and he said the same thing as you. He goes, I like it because it's me, and it's organic. And I know I will be at the show. I guess he had at some point somebody not
That's
show
right.
up or something. And,
Yeah, well,
you got one check to write, That's the
right.
thing, too. So.
That's right. And it's great to play in a band and have a full group of people with you. As long as everybody understands the vision of the band and are committed to that, but a lot of times that's not the case, and you can end up in a situation where people aren't committed or don't show up or don't rehearse, and that's always kind of tragic. So ultimately the best thing you can do is if you're successful enough to pay musicians to back you up. That way it's their gig, it's their job, and they have to show up and
right.
get paid. And that way you don't have to worry
right.
about it rather than you with a bunch of your buddies and hoping that, some bar mitzvah or something doesn't get in the way of your next show that you've already booked.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't only have to deal with the band members, you got to deal with boyfriends and girlfriends and everybody else that have, try this.
Try to
get a band first.
Well, I do have a part.
I've never been in a band. I couldn't handle that. I'll tell you. I am not that involved.
It'd be like you being a painter, and you have one guy responsible for the reds, one guy responsible for the blues, and one guy responsible for the greens, and you have the vision, but you hope the guy with the reds comes in and does the painting, but, does his part.
Exactly.
So, but, ultimately, I think the best thing to do in the best of all worlds is to have a group of musicians who share a singular vision and they're all committed to making that vision happen. And when that happens, it's magic. It's just the best of all possible worlds. But 9 out of 10 times, it's usually there's one or two people driving the music and doing all
right.
the work. And everybody else is just along for the ride. They could take it or leave it.
That's very true. That is very true. Yeah. I remember, I'll tell you, I had a friend of mine, guy I knew. It wasn't really a friend, but it was a good acquaintance. And he was that guy. Every band he was in, he was the one setting up gigs and making sure people rehearsed and checks were cut. And, he
mm-hmm.
was the guy. And
he
finally got a band together that was just, they were very Britpop. It was the 90s. But they
great.
Were American. They were out of Detroit. And, they were great. And they, once it was, and the internet was still kind of happening, being
yep.
out to the public. And they won some online contest where they won a record, like people voted them up, like Battle of the Bands, so it was online.
Mm-hmm.
And they won a recording deal. And they all went out to L.A. And the lead singer had a panic attack, anxiety attack,
mm-hmm.
and lost it, and walked out of the meeting and everything, wasn't his thing, and I don't know, he just lost it. And our friend, I don't want to say his name, but we'll call him Dave. Dave.
Okay.
Man, we were all hanging out with Dave for a week because we were all real worried about Dave, you know, because if anybody was going to make it, we all knew he was the guy out of the people we knew. And, you know, it was just it didn't happen because of one person in the band. And, you know, it all worked out in the end, I think. You know, he's married, teaches music, and, you know, everything. But he wanted to be a rock star. That part didn't work out. And, because
Maybe it was for the best.
He's married. Yeah. He's got a couple kids, happy, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? He's not hooked on smack in Tokyo or something, and I'm not saying that would have happened, but who knows, you know. Stranger
You never know. Sometimes what seems like a real letdown or a curse proves to be a blessing in the long run.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend of mine, a rockabilly friend of mine, and his wife left him, and he came down to visit me for a week, heartbroken. You know, we've all been there. And we were sitting on the beach here, and he's, you know, kind of drinking a little tequila and nursing his wound, so to speak. And he's, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, you're a country singer. You're going to do 3 albums from this, man. This is rocket fuel. Are you kidding me? You know, time to get to work here in a day or two. You just got to do your thing, you know. It is. Well, we've got the singles we have that they sent over. We have a couple. And we've got Ghost Inside and Everywhere You Go is Where You'll Be.
Great.
Philosophical. I love it. I love both these tracks. Ghost Inside was the previous single, right? That was off. That was released a little bit ago, I believe, 2020.
Yeah. They're both from the upcoming album coming out. I haven't released the record yet for 2024. And the album was originally called Devil in the Details, which is one of the tracks on the song. But I thought about it, and I changed the name of the album to Ghost Inside. I thought it was more appropriate. So Ghost Inside is the title track. It's available on all streaming services except for Spotify. I don't have it on Spotify yet. But Everywhere You Go is Where You'll Be, and St. James Infirmary, both from the new album. Those are both on Spotify, and I just shot a video for my version of St. James Infirmary, and I really like the way the video came out. And I'm actually in that video. I've got a lot of videos on YouTube, if you care to see it, under Reagan Carver. Much of them were shot in Cairo, Egypt. And there's a guy up there who does video for me, and he's really great. But they're local actors hired for all the parts. I didn't want to be and travel up there just to be in the video, so I'm not. They're like mini films, but in the video for, I guess, my version of what's that called, Simple Twist of Fate by Bob Dylan. I did that. Yes, I did that on the last album, and I'm in that video, and I'm in the video St. James Infirmary, which is a new one.
Nice.
So those are pretty cool. So anyway, the album is
Ghost. We'll play everybody. Oh, I was going to say for those who normally listen to the show and whatnot, you guys know after I finish up with the show, I usually put a video up on my social media while I'm.
Yeah.
Working on the doing all the editing for the podcast and whatnot. So tonight's video, I will definitely do the St. James Infirmary on the social media for everybody. So we'll all get a chance to see it, man. We'll all get a chance to see it because I haven't seen it yet. And I'm excited. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Happy Happy New Year from Al Hendrickson Toyota. Al's kicking off the new year with a giant sale on almost all 2024 Toyota models. Need financing help? Check out Al's no money down or deferred payment options. Shop AlHendricksonToyota.com to see if you qualify and make 2024 special. Looking to trade in your current car or sell it for cash? Take it to the easy to get to Al Hendrickson Toyota before you sell it to anyone else. And remember, South Florida, who saves you money? The easy to get to Al Hendrickson Toyota.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, the quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. So, should we play, what do you want to do first? Should we go Everywhere You Go, or Is Where You'll
sure.
Be, or Ghost Inside first for the folks?
I would go, well, why don't you go ahead and do Everywhere You Go.
Okay. Here it is, folks. This is Ray Gunn Carver. Everywhere You Go is Where You'll Be. Check it out.
Is not how it's supposed to be. Though you twist and you shout as you ride about, just like a fish pulled up from the sea. You say you got screwed and it was misconstrued. You need a change in the scenery. A new city or state could be your great escape. Could be your cup of tea.
Certainly very true, Ray God. Very, I love this track. It's such a good track. It's fantastic. Let me ask you, what is the time frame for like a track like Everywhere You Go is Where You'll Be? I mean, I get your process that you explained earlier. But like start to finish, is it a you? Is it, I imagine it's different for different tracks, but on that one in particular, was it a quick, you know, you had the conception, the completion, you had the idea, and you knocked it out, or did it take a while?
Well, with that one, it came fairly quick. I picked up an old parlor guitar, really old, just a dusty, dead-sounding guitar with the frets were all played out. And it had a really dead sound to it. And I loved that sound. And really, kind of the whole album kind of sprung from that particular sound. So it had kind of an older, I want to say, gypsy jazz kind of a feel. And
nice.
Usually what I'll do is I have a partner who does the drums and the production. So what I'll do with him is Rob, is I will put the track together the arrangement. And then I'll send it to Rob, and Rob will send several different, tell him what I envision for the drums, and then he usually comes up with something completely original, which I hadn't thought of, or something more in the vein of what I had wanted. And then we'll go back and forth, and then we find the groove, right? And then I'll just start tracking the guitars and the bass and putting all that together. But like I said, the last thing I do really is I have the chorus already in my head, but it's putting together this. Mm-hmm. It's like you write the chorus, but then you have to write the story around the chorus. So that
right.
Then I do that, usually work with that for quite a while until I find what I want to say.
Oh, it's fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's you know, you're an artist. You're an artist. You're painting with sound and lyric. It's so cool. It is so cool. I'm telling you, I first time I heard that track, I'm like, the only thing I'm not hearing in this is a far off wind with like a swing set swing, that chain rattling in the wind. You know,
right.
I mean, it is just, it is so, it's such a vibe, and that is good art to me. That is good art because it takes me someplace, and I like that, you know? You don't get that with every song.
Yeah. No,
it's
cool
when you do.
Yeah, I've always been really influenced by cinema and film, and mm-hmm. I certainly, like you're saying, I want to evoke a kind of a feel, a vibe, a place that's in your imagination that people can go to. And usually my characters are the people I write about, and the things I write about are usually people that are not they're kind of the outsiders in society. Again, going back to the monsters,
mm-hmm.
the kind of people that were left on the outskirts, or people who had failed, and that kind of a thing. So I like those kind of characters. They're very easy for me to write. I can really identify with that, so it comes very natural to me. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is. Man, I got this new little thing, Ray Gunn. It's a cough box. I just had a cough. You folks at home, it's a little behind the scenes. I had something on my throat there, and I hit this button, and you don't hear it. I don't know if Reagan heard it, but sorry about that if you did. I love this thing. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And it's one of the things, I can't wait for your album to come out. I can't wait, because it's almost like going to a gallery show of a theme, you know, and I know what I'm walking into, or I don't know what I'm walking into,
mm-hmm.
but it's someplace I want to walk into. You know what I mean? I want to see that mm-hmm. movie. And it's just cool. It's just real cool. And to me, and I can't be the only person out here in the world that thinks that way, you know? Very, very awesome. We've got your links to your Instagram, TikTok, Facebook up on our show page. I will add the YouTube link. It's just as
great.
Soon as the show's over. And that way people – and folks, when we convert this to a podcast and it goes out to Spotify and Pandora, all the podcast places, those links stay active. So you can just click on it, get right there. Get the word out, man. Ray Gunn Carver. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
I sure appreciate
it. Very, very cool.
I really do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm telling you. So let me ask you this. Now, we're going to play Ghost Inside in just a second, but – you've got some cool. I watched the video for Everywhere You Go Is Where You'll Be, and
mm-hmm.
I posted it out and whatnot. Also, do you ever have a video idea in mind, or are you the one behind the videos, or do you hire? I know some people hire a videographer. They're like, here's my truck, and this is what the videographer sees, you know, from it. Or is this Ray Gunn's mind putting these videos together?
The only requirement I have, I don't like to get in the way of other artists that are,
mm-hmm.
they're like, well, I consider the people making the video are also other artists. So I don't give them specific directions other than I want certain type of imagery. I want to see shadow. I want to see black and white. Mm. I want it, that kind of noir feel. And I like people to listen to it and create something that they think it means to them and not get in
that
the way
cool.
of that. So I would if I'm going to have somebody do something for me, I want to trust them to use their full vision and not limit them in any way by saying, I want it to look like this, and I want this guy here, and I want – I just let people roll with that end of it.
That's cool. Dipping your toe into the collective subconscious. I like that, you know?
Right, because everyone
– cool. Finish your thought, everyone –
Oh, yeah, everyone's got a different muse and it's tuned to a different frequency, mm-hmm. you know, creatively. And so when you hire people or you have people work with you or people are able to take things and make them their own, and I think that's really important when you're sharing your work. You need people that that can vibe with that, create their own vision out of something. And so I don't give a lot of specifics plot-wise or anything to the director. We just usually roll with it. Mm-hmm. Now, St. James Infirmary, we just shot that, and that just came out. I was really happy with the way that came out, and it's basically just a performance video, but with a
nice.
Lot of the subtext. And this guy, the guy who shot it, that one, Scott Sullivan, he was saying, well, this is what I envision. It's two people, you know, inside this body, and one's trying to get out, and he's got this imagery with crows and yeah, and some other stuff. So not things that I necessarily would have put in there, but, yeah.
Oh, you can't go wrong with a crow, Ray Gunn. You can't go wrong with a crow.
No. Crow works pretty well for my work, yeah.
Exactly. Crows and owls.
That's right.
Crows and owls. I tell you,
I saw an owl the other night. I was walking my dog. We were coming back to the house, and an owl flew over. It freaked me out. I was like, oh, God, what does this mean? Nothing. It means an owl flew over. But
that's right.
Yeah. Whether you see it. Crazy. Well, this, you know, I like that, though. I love it. There was a point in my career as a painter, it still doesn't happen every time, but there was a point when the phrase, Jamie, make it cool. Here's what I want. Make it cool. And that started happening more and more. And I as an artist, you love that because you're like, okay, I can do that. You know, let's do that. As opposed to, you know, well, we're painting a forest. I need 47 leaves of this shade and 52 mm-hmm. of this shade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That gets old real quick.
Yeah. And in the music industry, especially a lot of times like briefs for sync opportunities for television and film, they'll be very specific about what they mm-hmm. want. They'll want a song that sounds just like this popular song or that kind of thing.
Right.
And you know, I don't operate like that. I like the idea of like if you're writing music for a film, watching the film, and what does that mean to you? What does that evoke for you? And coming out with something on your own without any particular reference to any artist or anyone.
Absolutely. Well, it's, you know, and I dig that too. And you know, fortunately, my wife is cool enough too. I was complaining about the particular commission I'm one of the ones I'm working on. And she goes, they just like those colors. Just use that color palette. They didn't want it. That mm-hmm. style. Do it in your style, but with those colors. I'm like, oh, I
sense.
Get it now. Thank you.
Yeah. Good advice.
What I was thinking. Anyhow, let's play this. Let's play Ghost Inside. This is the title track of the upcoming. I got to put you on the spot a little bit, Reagan. Do you... I mean, I don't need an exact date or anything, but I'm just excited and I'm selfish and I want to hear more. Spring, summer, fall, we don't know for the album.
Well, I would anticipate that I will put it out here within the next month. I would say that. The album is done. It's in the can.
Gotcha.
It's just a matter of releasing all of those singles. You know, people don't buy. People listen.
Yeah.
People stream.
No, you're right.
No. So
you're right. And you're working with Trend PR, which is one of the best in the business. They know how to do that real well, you know. So
yeah, they do.
They're experts on that. So very good. Well, that's cool. Well, the great thing about that, because I was like, okay, if the whole album drops, we'll definitely have Ray Gunn back on. But no, I like the single release route too, because that means, yes, we'll have Ray Gunn back on, but we can have him back on a few times. Throughout the year,
right?
You know, which
excites me. Yeah, I think release strategies have changed with the way music is distributed now, and most consumers of music are listening to it through streaming. Things like hard copies, like CDs, still sell, but primarily those are something that is sold at shows because not a lot of people have, you know, cars don't even make CD players anymore. So usually I'll print up a few copies for distribute or sale at shows, but mostly it's through the streaming services that you put it out there.
Absolutely.
So
I remember releasing
stuff. Yeah.
A couple years ago, my wife, before she got her current car, when she got it, it was new. Maybe the month before, it was her birthday, and as a birthday present, I had burned her. She's really into Disney, you know. She's a Florida gal, and she's into Disney and all the Disney musicals and stuff. So, I had burned her like 25 CDs and put them in bought a little case off of Amazon, put them all in there, and made her Disney soundtrack. You know, all the Disney movies she loves, and she likes to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then she bought this new car a month later and didn't have a CD player.
No.
Like, oh, man, of course. Took me a long time to burn all those. Anyhow. Let's play. Here it is, folks. This is Ray Gunn Carver, Ghost Inside. Check this out. was Ghost Inside, everybody. Raygun Carver. Ghost Inside. What a title track of the upcoming album. Raygun, phenomenal track. Again, another great track. Love it.
Thanks a lot.
Now, do you still have that guitar? The ghost guitar? The dead sounding one? Where'd you pick that up at?
Well, I picked it up at a local music store here, and it really kind of set my muse in a different direction. It would just have such a unique kind of dead sound. I guess what it would sound like is some guitars now, it's kind of a thing, that are made with rubber bridges, and it kind of deadens the sustain on each note. So it's almost like a pluck, more of a thing, and I just really like that sound. So,
I'm telling you, nobody's gonna find that sound with any of these patches or these apps or any of that kind of stuff. You ain't gonna be able to do that on Fruity Loops. You know what I mean?
No, everything I do is organic. It's all real instruments being played by real people,
amazing.
Real musicians.
The best. You can't. It's like practical effects. You know, you can't beat it.
Right.
I get,
exactly.
If you're making a space movie, it's hard to have a space battle practically. Although Star Wars was pretty good. So I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
The original, not the CGI stuff. Anyhow, very very cool. Greg and I have had so much fun tonight. I know you're a busy man. You got a lot going on. Thank you so much for taking time, you know, and coming on the show and everything. You're about cool turned up to 10, you know. Seriously.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Jamie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait to hear more, you know. So excited. So excited. Now, I know, like I said, I mentioned we have links, and it's all the same, folks. Raygun Carver.
Mm-hmm.
You go to social media, you pop that in, boom, you're there. Do you have a particular social media? I am, like you, chained, like everybody, chained to social media. Do you have a particular one that we find you more on, we'll find you more on than others, or are you all equally the same?
Mostly, again, not social media, but Spotify is always a good metric. To tune into Instagram,
nice.
Facebook, and I've just made the commitment to posting more. Like most of us, we don't really like to post that much. A lot of people,
because
it seems kind of self-aggrandizement and kind of antithetical to the way that certainly I was raised, where you don't blow your own horn and you don't. Do that, well, but you have to.
Wait,
do that
it took
to
my
extent.
Wife a year to talk me into doing a Patreon.
It's like now
know?
I'm like, okay, you know what? You just need to put content out there on a regular basis.
Yep.
So I decided, okay, I'm just going to start putting content out on a regular basis, and make just whatever, and just putting
that's
it out there
the way to
and
do it.
People post it. So, we're all looking for people to discover our art and hopefully follow. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, and before we finish up here, I got to give a big shout-out to Mike Sullivan. I don't know who Mike Sullivan is, but he's a heck of a photographer. he captured – I want to go to a party at Raygun's house. Look at this place.
Oh, Scott.
What is that?
It's Scott Sullivan, and Scott is a professional surf photographer, and he does a lot of skiing videos and a lot of surf photography for surf magazines. He's over
nice.
In Hawaii right now, and Scott's also a songwriter and singer and a real talented guy, and I'm just really fortunate to get a chance to work with him.
That's fantastic. I love that horse, the mermaid horse thing you have hanging there. I don't know what that is, but it's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, that's my little home, stage.
Nice. I like it. Good looking amps too there. Very cool. Well, Raygun, I had so much fun tonight. I can't wait to have you on the show again. And you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You ever wake up and have one of those mornings where you're like, I don't know if I want to do it today? Well, there's at least one cat in Florida that hopes you do, because you're real, real good at it, you know?
Seriously. Thanks, Jamie. That means the world. That means the world to me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We will be back. We're going to be back next week. We've got a another fantastic singer-songwriter on the Scotty Hollywood Band. It will be on out of Denver. I believe it's Denver. I could be. It's one of those towns in Colorado there, and I think it's Denver. And but he'll be on next week, and we'll be talking to him. So be sure to tune into that. And everybody, thank you so much for listening and making the show what it is and everything. I think this is episode 1395 or something like that. Crazy. Maybe it's 94. But yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. The whole reason is because you guys are listening to it. I think that's pretty awesome. Very, very cool. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast. We're going to push it out on all the social media platforms and on all the podcasting. We are on over 850 different podcasting platforms. It amazes me that there are actually, there's got to be more than that, too, because they keep adding us to more. That's a lot. But, okay. All I'm saying, folks, if your master plan on becoming a millionaire is to start a podcasting platform, I know for a fact that there's 850 other people who had the same idea. So good luck to you. I want to thank Rethink That. I don't know. Maybe not. Don't listen to me. What do I know? Anyhow, we'll see you next time, everybody. I have a note here, too. If you want to listen to any of our podcasts ad-free, they're always free with ads. But if you don't want to listen to ads, you can join our Patreon. And we have all kinds of stuff on the tiers and all that. And you know how that works. And but one of the constants is you get early access to my paintings and you get all the podcasts ad-free. So there is that, if that is your, the dance you want to dance to. Okay, we will see you next time, everybody. Have a good one. And go check out more. And I'm going to be posting that video, like I said, Raygun Carver. Very cool stuff. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.